This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
If Florida State is doing national championships, ACC championships,
back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys get more banged and bruised, work in a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success to either something I can really do this.
And you are listening to the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network in association with NoleDigest.com. Today we're going to do a quick chat with Antonio Castillo, the publisher at BobcatIllustrated.com. We're going to get a little bit of an inside look at what to expect from Texas State, the Florida State's first opponent in the 2015 season. This podcast means that football season is finally here, everyone. So, first of all, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Thanks for joining us, Antonio.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So first things first, a lot of Florida State fans probably didn't even know that Texas State existed or had a football program before they saw this game show up on the schedule. So why don't you catch us up right at the beginning on who Texas State is and there's some philosophical stuff. You know, who is Texas State? What can Florida State fans expect in this first game?
Yeah, no, and that's not that surprising, Jason. Of course, you know, a lot of people actually are really surprised when it comes to the Bobcats. They're led by former Alabama and Texas A&M head coach Dennis Franchione. He's the one now who is bringing the resurgency to the Texas State program. They've only been Division I FBS now for a few years. They made the jump into the Sun Belt after coming from the FCS ranks, as we know them. It's very surprising. A lot of people, Texas State is actually the third largest public university in the state of Texas, only behind the two stalwarts of UT and A&M, just under 37,000 students. So it's a program that's on the rise. The last 2 years, they've gotten some bowl snubs, unfortunately, finishing 6-6, 7-5. But it's a program, again, that's on the rise under Coach Franchione. They actually have a well-renowned defensive coordinator, John Thompson, who's been coaching over 20-something years. Has coached many schools in the SEC up north as well. So it's a program that's on the rise, and they're definitely going to have their hands full with the number 10 ranked Seminoles come next Saturday.
Right, and you know, obviously, yeah. I don't think anybody has any pretenses here that we're going to expect Texas State to come in and beat Florida State. But the real question is, what can Texas State do to make Florida State have to really work? What does Franchione do with this team that makes them a threat to give Florida State some trouble to take this game into the second half and make them have to sweat a little bit?
It's nothing flashy, Jason. Believe it or not, you know, Coach Franchione, again, he's kind of the, I guess you want to say maybe the old school mode of coaching, but he's definitely helped bring in some new wrinkles, doing a hurry up offense. They're now averaging and ideally what Coach Fran wants the offense in a no huddle mode. They want to run a play every 15 to 17 seconds. And going through fall camp, they were getting really close to it. So the thing with it too is they're not your typical gimmick spread offense. They really pound the running game out of that zone read and the zone option. It's an offense he's had now for 3 years that way. And last year, they were 20th in the nation, not in the conference, not in the state, but obviously in the nation in yards per game. They bring back a very seasoned offensive line with pretty much four starters, breaking in one new starter at the center position. They have a quarterback now who's pretty much going to be at the helm for his third straight year. And they get back a running back, a senior running back, who was academically ineligible last year, named Chris Nuttall. And that's on top of Robert Lowe, a first-team all-conference performer who finished with 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns last year. So Texas State, they really like to pound the ball. Of course, it's probably safe to say they're not going to see a defensive front as talented as Florida State in the time that Coach Franchione has been there. But that's their identity on offense. So it's hopefully what Coach Fran would like, with maybe a low-scoring game. Not saying the offense can't put up points, but if they can get those 4 yards and 5 yards in a cloud of dust, get some intermediate passing, they'll be happy with what the score says at the end of the day.
Yeah, and just so Florida State fans are reminded, Texas State is from the Sun Belt Conference. I mean, this is not a 1AA team. This is not, you know, these guys, they have 85 scholarships.
That's correct.
And yes. You know, this is a full on 85 scholarship program. You know, they play in the same conference as Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, Troy, UT Arlington, et cetera, you know, South Alabama, ULM, who actually did have almost went undefeated against the SEC West a few years ago. So, you know, as much as, you know, we don't expect to see Texas State win this game, this isn't, I mean, the Sun Belt has had their success against some very, very good teams. And like you said, Francione is a good coach. You know, he, interestingly, this tells you, by the way, sort of how perceptions can change, because Francione, as you if you remember, he was the head coach of Alabama, you mentioned, but he left Alabama voluntarily to take what he regarded as an upward move going to Texas A&M, because he's always been a Texas guy. He's always been a little bit out west. And, you know, people today would go, why in the world would anybody leave Alabama for anywhere? But he went from Alabama to Texas A&M. One of those things, again, people don't realize about Francione, he's the guy who coached LaDainian Tomlinson at TCU.
Yes.
Which,
exactly,
again, gets you to that running the football roots. I mean, he almost ran the legs off of Tomlinson when he was out there.
Yes. No, you're right. And a lot of people, of course, this is pre-Nick Saban days at Alabama, but, you know, Alabama at that time wasn't the perennial power. Like everything, as you know, Jason, you know, programs, you know, have their roller coaster up and down. Alabama wasn't winning championships every other year. And, you know, at the time Coach Fran was there, and they were also facing sanctions. So at the time, you're right, it was probationary sanctions, couldn't go to a bowl game after a 10-win season and reduced scholarships. That really showed the heck of a job that Coach Fran did at Bama, then leaving for that A&M job. So you're right.
They offered him a 10-year, $15 million extension. And in those days, of course, that was crazy money in 2002 or whatever it was. You know, they offered him a 10-year extension at Alabama because of what he did with them with sanctions, and he still left. So, I mean, it's just a different world from today. I mean, it's just amazing how much things can change in a decade. But again, this is a quality football coach, and it's going to be a well-coached team.
Very much so. And again, just to quickly point, Jason, you know, Texas State last year, they had some notable wins and very tight losses. A team that, you know, some of the ACC foes there, I'm sure we'll be familiar with, Georgia Southern. You know, Texas State played them down to the final minutes last year. They lost by a combined 4 points last year, Georgia Southern did, to North Carolina State and Georgia Tech of the ACC. I'm sure, you know, some of the Noles fans remember them, the Eagles. They put a whooping on Arkansas State last year on national television. It was a Thursday night game on ESPNU, 45-27. Everybody had Arkansas State heavily coming into that game. And recently in the news too, Jason, last year, well, actually just a couple of days ago, Illinois got rid of Tim Beckman. But last year in early September, had it not been for a 2-hour lightning delay in Champaign, Texas State was beating the Big Ten foe Illinois 28-14. You take a 2-hour halftime or a 2-hour intermission, and the game just completely flipped, and Illinois ended up winning in the end 42-35. So again, they're not beating BCS,
which is still 7-point game.
Exactly.
That's respectable.
Exactly. So it's definitely a very veteran offense. And for those, you know, I know we haven't even touched on defense, Jason, but, you know, Texas State did have two guys drafted last year, and, you know, as early as the third round. That's nowhere near the amount of guys that Florida State pumps out, of course. But, you know, for a program making that D1 transition and, you know, trying to be a household name throughout the state, throughout the region and beyond, you know, again, a competitive game, national television. You line up and play, but of course, you know, there's a reason Florida State is a 31-point favorite coming in on Saturday.
Yeah, and again, these games sometimes they go screwy, and you can see the favorite lose. The interesting thing, I think, from the Florida State side on this, the concerns that I've heard coming out of Florida State camp, obviously there's some concerns about the quarterback position, Florida State's quarterback position with Golson and McGuire. At this point, is still not decided, although insiders are pretty adamant that it is going to wind up being Everett Golson at the quarterback position. He just brings more to the table, and, you know, they'll be able to, they're going to run a little bit more spread option type stuff with Golson because of what his feet actually bring to the table. But they're not going to be able to just dominate down the field in the passing game the way that they have the last couple of years with Jameis Winston. I mean, there's going to be a drop off from Jameis Winston, And then you have a drop off to guys that really just aren't the kind of passers that Florida State is used to having back there. So it's going to be a very different offense. But the other real concern that I keep hearing from inside Florida State camp is that Florida State may have some trouble stopping the run this season, which in this game against a team that will spread you out, but then wants to, and in this way, from what I understand, what they're doing is somewhat similar. Am I right that it's somewhat similar to what they're doing at Oregon, where they're going to spread you to run the football? They want to run down your throat, but they're going to do it by trying to create some seams and mismatches, and they're going to run where you aren't. Is that more or less correct?
No, you're 100% right, Jason. And that's the thing is, and you know, again, it can be it's a lot of misdirection. Obviously, you know, at the same time, a lot of end arounds, you know, trying to get matchups, like you're saying, you know, going back to Texas State's offensive line being veteran, everybody is 300 pounds plus. Now, of course, you know, in the ranks of the Florida States and the Floridas and the Miamis of the world, that's a common thing. But you know, one thing that Coach Franchione has said that's been big about this fall camp since the transition to the FBS ranks is he sees now a D1 football team that's too deep. You know, he's got the bodies, you know, where maybe in past time he may have had a 6'1 center. You know, now he's got a 6'4, 300-pound center. You know, and that's actually a JUCO kid who came in who's got thrown into the starting mix. But Jackson Hoskins, a redshirt freshman, is actually every bit of 6'5, 300 pounds plus. And you know, again, that's the thing. You're right. It is to spread you out, but also not to just be one-dimensional, because Tyler Jones does have an arm. Now, I'm not saying he can throw a 70-yard frozen spiral, but at the same time, he's very accurate in the mid-level passing game over the middle. They have a 6'7 tight end named Lawrence White as a senior who's just done miracles with his body. Inside the red zone last year, he had 3 or 4 touchdowns alone with Tyler Jones. Just because he's a huge mismatch, he's got good speed, and he's a legit 6'7". So there aren't too many linebackers, aren't too many safeties, if you put that ball up there high enough, that are going to be able to make a play on it just because of how long and how tall he is. Again, the running backs we've mentioned, that's going to be the one key thing, Jason, is the wide receivers. If Florida State does consistently put 8, 9 in the box and they're stonewalling the run, you know, will Texas State have an alternative or have an option to try and get the ball down the field? You know, will they have time and will they have somebody? And right now on the receiver side, other than some young, unproven, fast talent in Damon Mercer and Brandon Smith, and a Hawaii transfer named Kwamein Bowens, you know, there really isn't a true established target that Tyler Jones has that he counts on just, you know, he says, hey, let's do a go route or a fly route, and I'll hit you 50 yards down the field. So, again, it's going to be a challenge, like you said, but you're right. That is the mindset of Texas State, is to pound you. And then when you least expect it, you know, maybe throw that go route or that post pattern, that skinny post over the middle and go for the jugular. But, again, you know, like we said, you know, Florida State is full of NFL prospects and all conference performers. So it's an uphill climb either way for the Bobcats.
Once again, you're listening to the Unconquered podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a VSporto channel. This is Jason Staples being joined by Antonio Castillo, the publisher at BobcatIllustrated.com. Now let's go ahead and flip over to the defensive side of the ball and talk about what Texas State does. As I understand it, Texas State runs a base 4-2-5, which Florida State has also run the last couple of years. And, you know, against Florida State, this Florida State team is bound to run the football a lot more than past Florida State teams. I mean, I expect them in most games against FBS teams to be running in the range of 40 times, you know, per game, and then pass the ball just a little under 30. I mean, they don't run a whole lot of plays at Florida State. They're not a hurry-up team. So I think last year they averaged about 72 plays a game. Somewhere in there, and I expect somewhere in that same range. But they're going to run the football a lot. Now, the question is, against a team like Texas State, if they get a lead, they may actually try to throw a little bit to try to work their quarterbacks a little bit. But let's talk. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we can expect from that Texas State 4-2-5 and where they have some strengths and where are their weaknesses and what do they bring back from last year's unit? Last year's unit did struggle a little bit, particularly down the stretch.
Yeah, no, you're right, and there are some gaping holes, and that's what's actually been a pleasant surprise going through fall camp is Coach Franchione, despite everything I've told you, Jason, feels that during fall camp, the defense look like the overall better unit, losing a third-round corner to the San Diego Chargers, losing a fifth-round linebacker to the Carolina Panthers, and David Mayo, the linebacker, and then, of course, Craig Mayer, the defensive back. It is a base 4-2-5, but for anybody that knows defensive coordinator John Thompson and his history, a long history in the FBS ranks, he is attack, attack, attack. Mm-hmm. And out of that 4-2-5, they do have what they call a wolf safety. And it's basically also another safety that's a rover that's kind of a strong safety that he does not mind putting them in the box and bringing heat with them. The outside linebacker isn't your typical outside linebacker in the Texas State defense. It's actually called a stinger because that position is probably 6-7 times out of 10. That stinger is coming. That's, you know, it's kind of a little reminiscent of the title of what they call it, a stinger position. He's coming to lay the wood off of the edge. That's one thing we really liked about Coach Thompson's defense last year in his first season as Coach Franz DC is it was almost invigorating. He also sometimes even modifies the 4-2-5 and makes it a 3-3-5. Sometimes they'll even make it a 3-2-6. It's incredible what he does in the diversity of the defense and the options. Personnel wise, they have two rocks. And Coach Fran says it as much. Middle linebacker, there's no replacing David Mayo, but there is a guy by the name of Trey McGowan. He is the Mike backer, the middle linebacker in the Texas State scheme. Everything is also channeled to where the defensive tackles in the ends, and it's kind of your routine from this mindset, are to take up, obviously, any blockers, let him do his thing. He's a little bit undersized, 6 foot, but he is a load.
He's about 250, pounds. Right? He's 245 there, yeah.
Every bit of it, and he moves. He moves, and there was some games last year he had of near 20 tackles, 18, 19 tackles. And the thing is, he makes plenty of plays behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know. Maybe he uses that little bit lack of height to his advantage. Maybe gets behind a guy or two, and then gets through the line of scrimmage and makes his play. The Sun Belt All Preseason All Conference Defensive Player of the Year is actually one of their corners, David Mims. Already some people are talking about possibly, you know, is he the next NFL draft pick out of Texas State and following the shoes of Craig Mager? He's a senior, 5'11", 195 pounds. There's questions if he's faster than Craig Mager, who ran a 4.45 at the NFL Combine, was a top 10 speedster at the Combine. He might not be as fast, but he has a knack for making plays, using position, and when the ball is coming with the receiver, at beating that receiver, he has good leaping ability. And getting up there and making a play at the highest point of the ball.
Well, and he has good size at 5'11". I mean, on the edge, that's not the kind of size that you necessarily expect from a Sun Belt level secondary. I mean, they, looking down the list at who they have in terms of their corners, 5'11", 5'11" and 5'10" should be the two starters, right? Because is McDowell still the other starter?
Yeah, Brandon McDowell, he's a newcomer. He is going to be starting opposite Mims. Yes, him and a JUCO corner who came in the spring named Javonte O'Roy. If anything, maybe those guys will rotate. But David Mims, they don't believe in giving him any help, over it. So that could possibly, and like you said, as a corner, you know, a good corner has to have a quick memory, Jason. That might possibly be, hey, Florida State may go after him. But the fact is he's held his own. And, you know, the coaches of the Sun Belt recognize that as a junior, he was one of the best in the conference, had four interceptions. So him and Trey McGowan are going to lead the Texas State defense. Where there's questions is up front, the defensive line, not the heaviest outside of the tackle positions. They do bring speed off of the edge. But that's one thing that Coach Thompson, we're really eager to see. What's the mindset he takes with Florida State? If Texas State is down, gets down two touchdowns in the first 5 to 6 minutes of the game, you know, does that change his game plan? Does he continue to try and attack? Is he going to lay off to try and prevent the big play? And, you know, that's something that's obviously we really can't predict until the kickoff, obviously, on Saturday at 7 o'clock. But it'll be interesting, and that's how the Texas State defense is going to have a massive challenge. And it's going to be their biggest challenge of the year, of course, going to Tallahassee.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, given the size situation up front, I mean, I'm looking at is McLarty the starting nose, right? So he's about 275, but – he's only 5'11", right? So this will be a reminiscent to Florida State fans, perhaps, of the undersized defensive tackle from Wake Forest a couple years ago, where he was a load for everyone, in part because of that lack of size. He was able to get up underneath underneath the pads and so on. So, you know, I'm trying to remember. I'm actually Googling the name of the of that defensive tackle because I should remember this.
Yeah, no, and you're right. Dallas
Nikita Whitlock.
Okay.
That's who it was. But anyway, so yeah, similar to Wake Forest defensive tackle Nikita Whitlock. Who, you know, used that size to get up underneath the pads and so on and create penetration, but you're definitely not going to two gap with that guy.
No, you're right. And actually for being smaller, he is quick. And you know, that's one of the things people automatically assume. Well, if he's a small guy, he should have a motor. I mean, anybody weighs 275 pounds, you know, that's a formidable body to move, but you know, he's a returning sack leader. He had three from his position last year. And even more impressive, Jason was, is his ability to make plays in the backfield. He had seven tackles for a loss last year, and he's by far the returning leader on the defensive line.
From the nose, that's pretty good.
Exactly.
So,
he can move.
And next to him, is it Dylan next to him at 6'3", 300? And then,
yes.
And then you've got Trevilian and Nikoshevich.
Yeah, and actually Will Trevilian, he's actually been moved to offense, and that was one of the things I briefly touched on as center. But if you go from left to right, Jason – it's going to be actually Kareem Berry, a redshirt sophomore who he's got a really quick first step off of the edge. But he's light, 225 pounds. And then the tackles go McLarty and Dylan. Dylan is a big bull who's 6'3", 300, 305 pounds.
Okay.
That's your two gapper that, you know, you use to hold the point of attack. And then one of the biggest surprises of camp was the right end spot with Rusman Nikoshevich, a redshirt senior, and Tim Gay, a converted fullback, who was injured last year, and now he's going to be playing both ways. He's also height-wise, again, you're not looking at a 6'3", 6'4", converted fullback defensive end. You're looking at a 5'11", at most 6'. But he has shown some real serious quickness from being running back / fullback, and he's really surprised the coaches. And if you had to name co-starters at that right defensive end, it's going to be Rusman Nikoshevich and Tim Gay. So the defensive line is going to be is going to have their work cut out for them, without a doubt, looking at the size of the Florida State line. But there's going to be plenty of rotation in there as well. Keep an eye out, Jason, for a true freshman by the name of Landon Beck. And if he didn't play in the middle of nowhere, kind of central, starting to go into West Texas, where you see tumbleweeds and you see skeletons on the road.
That's that area where if you don't get gas before you go through there, you might be one of those skeletons in a few days.
Yeah. And I hope I'm not selling Landon short. He went to early high school here in Texas. He is massive. He is every bit of 6'4", 280 pounds. His senior year, going into his senior year, he weighed 245 pounds. And we saw him when we first saw him, he was lean and he was slender. And the kid is just completely, I don't know if it's been bean and cheese tacos. I don't know if it's been pasta. But whatever he's packed on, he is a roaring 275, 280 pounds. And as a true freshman, he's already in the two deep. They moved him from defensive end. They were going to try him at end. They moved him to tackle. And he is what you call in Texas country strong.
Uh-huh.
And this kid is a true freshman. And he's going to play. And he's pushing that two deep and has gotten reps with the one. So just keep an eye out for Landon Beck, a true freshman as well. But that defensive line, it's going to have a very tough task in front of it come Saturday.
Well, and it is interesting, actually, as you look at the Texas State roster, at the difference in size of the seniors and juniors,
yeah,
and the freshmen. The freshmen in particular, I mean, you go down the list, and the freshmen are starting to look like Division I kids that you recruit out of Texas.
Yes.
I mean, you look at, it's not just Beck, but Javier Edwards, 6'3", 330. Yes. I see him, you know, popping up. Look at the three linebackers that they got in this last class, 6'2", 225, 6'3", 225, 6'3", 240. Those guys, that's not what they have ahead of them. I mean, they're starting to recruit now that this program's building. You can see Francione is building a program here where they're starting to recruit some size, and you can see what direction they want to go. It's just very young talent at this point.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're completely right. And just one quick note, Jason, you know, Javier Edwards was a big time get. He was a huge risk, and unfortunately, in the end, he didn't qualify. But to show you the type of kids that they're getting, that kid had Big 12 offers.
Yeah, well, he's a three-star recruit on most services. So
exactly, and you're right. And the thing is a lot of these true freshmen. And we did a piece on our site bobcatillustrated.com last week as far as there is a youth movement with the Bobcats, and there's going to be some impact freshmen, true and redshirt freshmen, on defensive loan. On defense alone, we counted four or five. Now, again, you know, when you're at the Florida States and the Floridas of the world, you know, you recruit the best of the best, four-star and five-star kids. So down at the Texas State level, that's not necessarily that common where you may have four or five kids who might come in and unroot a junior or a senior who's had those 2 or 3 years of buildup, but they're now recruiting a different type of kid once they made that jump from the FCS ranks to the FBS ranks. And you're starting to see it. It was very evident with this past year's recruiting class, despite an untimely decommit today from what we think is going to be a three-star cornerback in Desmond Smith, Odessa Permian. Don't know if you guys have heard of Friday Night Lights out there, the original Friday Night Lights. That's where he was from.
Out in Odessa.
Yes. It was definitely a kick to the Netherland region to hear him decommit today for Coach Fran in Texas State. They're not going to give up on the kid, but those are the type of kids that kind of landing now consistently. So, you know, they're already up to, even with this decommitment, they already have 19 commitments before the first game of the year. So, it's definitely an upward swing right now for the Cats.
Well, let's go ahead then. And, we'll put you on the spot on what you expect and sort of what, you might hope. So let's do those two things. Sort of what's best case scenario from the Texas State side, and what do you expect to happen on that? And then I'll follow with mine and we'll go ahead and wrap.
Best case scenario is, again, you know, and hopefully Seminole Nation doesn't give me grief for this, but I'm sure I'll get it. Best case scenario is, you know what, Everett Golston and Sean McGuire have some bad food the night before the game, and you know, they have the meat sweats out there, and we know Tallahassee is humid. And best case scenario, something happens to where obviously Florida State's, I think if I'm not mistaken, replacing four linemen. I think you guys are just returning Roderick Johnson, I think, at tackle.
That's correct.
So you never know. Like you said, these first games of the year, ask Florida 2 years ago against Georgia Southern, you know, what happened in the Swamp. And you have, of course, you know, and I'm sure, you know, the Texas State coaches say all this all the time. You know, that's why we line up and play on the field. So best case scenario, somehow, some way, you know, buy a lottery ticket and maybe Texas State wins, you know, somehow, some way. Expectation, you know, with the veteran offense, I think Texas State can hold their own. The questions are going to be on the defensive side. You know, do they have the horses to stop Dalvin Cook? You know, we obviously he's reinstated. He's a heck of a talent, only a sophomore. I think he set the freshman Florida State record for yards last year.
Yep.
You know, I know you'll have a big-time junior receiver. And just looking up and down the size of the offensive line, you know, not to say that if they're all-conference performers or not, all-ACC or not, but that offensive line is daunting just looking sheer at the size on paper. And that's going to take its toll. You know, that's going to take its toll. So expectation, I wouldn't expect covering Texas State now for near years. I wouldn't expect anything less from a Dennis Franchione team. They're usually well-disciplined. They're going to stick to their guns. They're going to run the ball. I would expect it. I would not be surprised at all, Jason, if it's at least a competitive game. And by competitive game, you know, two possessions, a possession and a half.
Definitely covering the spread. Definitely not covering the spread, that is, if you're Florida State. That's what you're suggesting.
Expectation, yes, sir. So, yeah. But again, you know, we'll see. We're actually going to have a crew live in Tallahassee. We're going to be flying kind of hot early the day of the game, and then we leave the next game. But our lead reporter, Kev Chardello, he's going to be in obviously on the sidelines in the press box, and of course for our readers and I'm sure your readers as well, we'll have great coverage of it. And overall, you know, national TV game on ESPN News. So can't get any better, great exposure, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. But yeah, I mean, I do think actually that 31-point spread is a little big for this game. Yeah. I mean, I don't expect Texas State to win this game, but I do think that 31 points might be a little bit steep in this game. It's going to be interesting to see how Florida State actually is able to play in this game, given, again, some of the struggles that they've had in camp and the youth of this team. It's going to be really interesting. And we just got interrupted a little bit by some smoke alarms. So sorry for that abrupt disconnection there, everybody. My wife, who doesn't spend a whole lot of time in the kitchen, I'm generally the one who cooks, decided to try her hand at some things in the oven. And Well, smoke alarms were the result. I certainly hope it tastes better than the smoke alarms seem to think it was. But anyway, I think she was actually cooking some other stuff for her down, you know, over the course of the week. I'm not much on the vegetable front, and she kind of likes the vegetable thing. So, but anyway, let's get back to finishing up a little bit of this. Like I was saying earlier, I think that the 31-point spread is a little bit steep for this game. I you know, it's possible that Florida State covers it. But I do think it's not quite appreciating what Texas State can do in terms of offensively to give Florida State some problems. It'll be interesting to see how the Florida State defense, whether it has improved, whether it is going to be able to hold up against the run. And that is, again, the concern coming in into this season at this point, is whether or not they're going to be able to hold up against the run. And this is a good early test in that sense, with a little bit less risk, but forcing Florida State's defensive interior to really have to honor the run and to you know, have good run fits and so on. That's going to be one thing. And then the other is, with the way that the Florida State offense has looked so far in practice and some of the struggles they've had in the passing game in particular, I'm just not so sure Florida State's going to score enough points to have that 31-point spread right now. Now, it's possible that they could just run the football and do that, but given the circumstances right now, I wouldn't bet on it. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I think they will throw the football a little bit more in this game than they might against a bigger time program. Where they're trying to get a little bit more in terms of the comfort level out of the quarterbacks. But it's going to be interesting to see. There's so much new stuff for Florida State this year. It's just really, it's such a blank slate. This is a fascinating game, even though it is, supposedly, when you set this sort of game up, when you're, a top 10 team and you're setting up a game with a Sun Belt team, you're not setting that game up with the expectation that that's going to be a game going into the second half. But it may be, with this Florida State team, as young as it is, there's going to be some hiccups. There's going to be a lot of frustration, I think, in that first half with this Florida State offense as they're trying to get their wheels moving a little bit. And it's going to be interesting to see how long that goes. Now, I don't think, in terms of my expectations, I don't think ultimately Texas State's going to be able to match up front on the defensive line. I think the size difference and just the difference in athleticism there is ultimately going to win out. And that's where Florida State, I think, is ultimately going to be able to run the football, particularly in the second half, and take enough control of the game to win comfortably. I mean, I think they win by 3 scores, you know, or more. But, you know, well, it's going to be interesting to see exactly how that shakes out. I mean, I think if Florida State does cover the spread, that's probably a pretty good sign for Florida State fans. I'm not sure what that would say about Texas State. I'm not sure it would say anything, because I think that would mean Florida State came in and executed better than probably expected. Well, in any case, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, Antonio. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on, Jason.
This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a VSporto channel. Again, this is Jason Staples. My guest has been Antonio Castillo, the publisher at BobcatIllustrated.com. So for you Florida State fans who are interested in taking a look at Florida State's first opponent, that's where you want to go, BobcatIllustrated.com. Again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of the Sporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.